Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. First things first.
So yesterday, the Provincial Police Commissioner, was a KZN, General Mkhwanazi, held a press conference. He said a lot of things. I'm not going to play the clips. I'll rather try and contextualize it for you, right? Essentially, he spoke about the work they've been doing in KZN. He spoke about the Political Killings Task Force team and how that team got a call. Basically, he got a call from a team here in Gauteng that deals with organized crime. This team in Gauteng said, hey, we are working on some investigations and I don't know if they can't trust some of the people here in Gauteng, but we just need help. And they asked him specifically. He then took some members of his Political Killings Task Force team and he seconded them to here in Gauteng. When they got here in Gauteng, there was already an operation that was happening. And in that operation, there was an arrest. With that arrest, some people try to interfere in the higher ups. When they try to interfere with this, they realize, okay, this is actually a legitimate SAPS operation, so they stepped aside. Then the members that were coming from KZN, they were going to be on secondment, they were here to assist the guys that work in organized crime, got here after the arrest, and they took the weapons that had emanated from that arrest, and they went and took them for ballistics reports, right, and testing. After testing happened, it appeared that those weapons had been involved in the murder of Mr. Swart, who used to work for a security company at Garda Transnet, but also multiple other murders that he said were linked to high-profile artists in Johannesburg. He didn't mention who those people were. Anyway, after that happened, then they got a letter from the deputy commissioner, Deputy National Commissioner, disbanding their unit, right? So this will be now the Political Killings Task Force team. They got disbanded officially via a letter, and that was that. Fast forward to this year. This year, they get a report, and this report comes from the Independent Directorate for, I guess, corruption. And this is an NPA directorate now, right? So they're not necessarily part of SAPS. They are part of the National Prosecuting Authority. And they requested evidence that this task force team had gathered. And in that evidence were, I guess, some WhatsApp conversations. So they handed those over. What subsequently happened was that the head of their task force team got arrested, the convener. He got arrested. And now we end up at this point where he gave us this press conference. That's everything in a nutshell. I'll give more detail as and when we proceed. I want to speak about three things. I want to speak about, first of all, procedure. Then I want to speak about substance. And I want to speak about result. If you want to use legal terms, the result could be justice, right? So substance is very important. Substance is how substantive your argument is. So if I say, Mpo, you are wearing a red jacket. The red jacket is not good for us here in this work environment because of yada, 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 yada. And I give a very cogent argument. You call that substantive. Mm-hmm. Mpo may even agree with it, actually, and go, yes, that's a very cogent argument. But what's important before I get the result as desired is the procedure I follow in bringing that up with Mpo. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if I just rip the jacket off Mpo, that's harassment.
Exactly.
Right? So the desired effect, I don't get rid of the jacket now in the workplace. What happens is Mpo is going to lay a complaint against me. Yeah. I will get fired. Mm-hmm. Right? This is why these things happen. In our government, you've obviously got people that are in government. We'll call them the executive, right? The arms of the executive, the minister of police. And those people don't necessarily have serving experience. In other words, they're not cops. They don't carry a badge. Then below that, you've got commissioners. You've got the national commissioner, right? You've got the deputy commissioner. And then you've got the provincial commissioners. Mm-hmm. The national commissioner is who the deputy commissioners report to. Those people are all cops. Mm-hmm. Those people have served. Those people wear badges. at some point they worked for this unit or the other. And usually, those people, just out of respect, they know each other and they at least respect each other. They don't necessarily have to like each other, but they respect each other because, hey, I know you've served time. You put your life on the line for this thing, right? And often those people do not respect the people that are at the executive because those people have never served.
Comrades.
100%. Mm. And very often, those people are at loggerheads. So when commissions are talking about, hey, man, as cops, we feel like this is the direction we should be taking when it comes to fighting crime, a minister may feel differently. Mm. But at the end of the day, what the minister says is what goes. This is what's happening here. There's no doubt in my mind now that there is obviously a rift within SAPS. There are people that are on the Mkhwanazi side, and then there are people that would be on the other side. I don't know what the other side is currently because I'm not sure who the leader of those people would be, right? But according to Mkhwanazi himself, he referred to the deputy national commissioner as a criminal. Mm. His own words, right? That's a fellow cop, a fellow SAPS member.
Dude.
He referred to him as a criminal. We don't know who's right and who's wrong by this because we also need to be objective. All we have is what he told us and the evidence that he gave us. And yesterday, he gave us evidence. So we've got no reason to not believe everything he told us yesterday. The only thing that's in question is the motive. Mm-hmm. And this is very important because we once did a show where we spoke about vigilantism. And everybody agrees that vigilantism is incorrect, right? It's not the right thing to do. But because people are so stressed and so tired of criminality, they're willing to turn a blind eye now when it comes to vigilantism. And I warned against that. I said, don't do this because this is the opening of a calamity. This is how chaos ensues. Everybody disagreed with me. I said, Caesar, you're not from Ekasi. You don't understand how things work. Well, now you're going to see the importance of procedure. Because regardless of whether you agree with Mkhwanazi or not, regardless of whether you like Mkhwanazi or not, right? If it is found that procedure has not been followed, as some people are saying, it's going to discredit all the work that he's done. It's going to discredit the results we're going to get. And dare I say, we may not even find justice because of that.
Mm. But man, you see, procedure is only as good as if the system which the procedure needs to go through is solid and it's not compromised. But now it's clearly compromised. And the justice you're saying we may not see because he broke procedure may have not been seen if things were done procedurally. That's why Shadrack Sbia, who's accused now of being a criminal, has got over 100 dockets that the minister says he must take from that task team. And there's no investigation, no process, nothing's happening. They're literally collecting dust.
But at the same time, Saul, I hear what you're saying, right? But at the same time, if you are not going to follow procedure, then justice will not be ever seen. Because at the end of the day, it is that lack of following procedure that is going to be the demise of that very case.
And in fact, you do understand that not following procedure is a criminal act in itself. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like you made a good point that cops respect cops, especially guys who've served,
yeah,
right? And Mkhwanazi, for the mere fact that, number one, he's risking his entire career and reputation, and secondly, he is accusing another police officer, career policeman, of grievous crime. And this is a man who he respects or should be respecting, who's further up than him. Also then gives credence to his claims as well. It's so tricky. I get the procedural part.
How does that give credence to his claims?
Well, it gives them gravity that he's willing to put to cross a line that cops never cross.
Not necessarily.
It doesn't do that at all.
Not necessarily.
What if he's the one who's running rogue? And now he's covering his tracks.
But outside of that, right? Bro. Outside of that, Mkhwanazi has been known as someone who is almost rogue, so to speak, because there are so many things that are happening in KZN that at times you look at and you're like, that's a little suspect, right? For instance, shooting people without even arresting them. Yes, you're shooting at cops, but you just can't go willy-nilly shooting people because then that also comes back to you. Are you possibly covering up certain things that you are doing?
So wait, Mpo. I'm not going to say that Mkhwanazi is rogue because we don't have evidence to point to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we will say is IPID did try and investigate him for the same matters that we brought up on the show, right? Extrajudicial killings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I go back to motive. Why did IP do that? Well, that's because Senzo Mtunu later complained against him, mm-hmm. right, at IP. Now, if we listen to what he's saying, him and Senzo Mtunu are obviously not seeing eye to eye.
True. Mm.
So what was the motive for that? Maybe Senzo Mtunu was doing this so that they could remove Mkhwanazi.
But even this,
we don't know any of that.
Going, breaking rank, yes. as he did with this press conference, that is going rogue.
Mm.
Okay, well there, again, there's two things. If he called the press conference just to give us an update of how things are going in KZN, that would have been fine. But what it ended up being, it was a national address, actually, yeah. way beyond his scope and jurisdiction. Yeah. And then there was a call where he even called on members that are not part of SAPS to join the fight against him. So yeah. private militia, yeah. even citizens. And depending on who you ask, that could have been a call, I guess, that could lead to chaos or even a coup.
You know what I'd like to say? I think at the heart of Mkhwanazi's so-called popularity and his sentiments, or the way in which the South African public has received him, speaks to, as you mentioned, Sizwe, the vacuum that crime and the high crime rates has created, in which people are so fed up that they almost accept anyone who has, and he has, this quiet charisma that says, I'm going to make a decision.
Mm.
And it speaks to the masses.
Mm.
Which, and we're not asking whether he's following procedure, he's doing the right thing. So it's, I mean, it's all up for debate whether what he said is true or not. But I think this is how dictators rise, essentially, where they speak to masses and masses don't question whether what's happening is right or wrong.
Because they make an emotional decision. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that decision is not based on any evidence at all.
Yes.
This is what I'm here to ask. I'm here that you ask yourself a very critical question and apply your mind to all of this, right? There's two things you need to ask yourself. One, what if Mkhwanazi was right about everything that he said yesterday and he's on the right side, right? What needs to happen? But then you need to ask yourself, what if he was wrong about some of the things that he said and he's on the wrong side? Then what? Hey, yeah.
General Mkhwanazi. Magabange. Evil prevails when good men sit back and do nothing. Magabange Mkhwanazi. Magabange. Good on him.
Romano, good name is Kulmanya Substance. We've been giving this politician the substance. We've been speaking now with substantive information. I mean, the next. I mean, I agree, Mkhwanazi. Rip the jacket off. I rip. Then we'll deal with the consequences later. I expose it.
I always believe that sometimes rules are meant to be bent for the betterment and the safety of the people. And yes, there is procedure that needs to be followed and protocol. However, I think what Mkhwanazi did, he knows the procedure, he knows the law. But I think to a certain extent, he had to bend a little bit of rules for the safety of the country, for the safety of the people, and presumably probably for his own safety. Because I believe that there's a lot that is going on behind the scenes. And he did this so that he can be protected.
Okay, so do you realize that yesterday, General Mkhwanazi also implicated the judiciary, right? Said the judiciary is captured, right? Certain prosecutors in the NPA, and then obviously the executive arm. So, namely Senzo Mtunu, but he didn't say whether it ends there. It may go higher. I want to read you a text, right? From a good friend of ours, Dumzani Dembe. And he says, okay, so with that context, what happens, for example, if the army decided to have the guts to disagree with the Minister of Defense? What would happen then? Because you guys are saying rules should be broken. What should happen in that situation? If the army decided they disagree with their commander-in-chief, who's Cyril Matamela Ramaphosa, Nowenze Janike
lapho. Hey, that's a coup right there. Military coup waiting to happen.
You see?
Now, I feel like Mkhwanazi mentioned this thing because his back was against the wall. I don't think Umkhonazi would just wake up. He sounds like irrational. He looks like a rational person who thinks things through. So I don't think Umkhonazi will wake up one day and just make a decision. Could say, oh yeah, today I'm going to like do a tell all in the meeting. His back was against the wall and he needed to protect himself or his family. So that's why he shared whatever he shared. Because shame, to a point of saying the judiciary is corrupt, that's wrong. You don't just say that.
100%. These are fighting words and big utterances. I don't lala.
You know, I think this guy, Umkhonazi, he knows something about his future. He doesn't care what's going to happen now. He knows for a fact that he wasn't following procedure, but it doesn't faze him. He doesn't care anymore.
Okay. So let's say you're correct. Let me ask you now, why doesn't that concern you? Right? Why doesn't that concern you? If, according to his own timeline, they got a letter on the 31st of December, 2024, disbanding their unit, right? But their unit still went ahead and arrested somebody in June of this year. Why would you not question that and go, how do you do that if you were disbanded in December of 2024? Is that not defiance?
When it comes to whether or right throw from corners about the claims, I don't know 100%, but I know most of the claims, especially the drug cartels, he's 100% right. That one, there's no disputing it. I know for a fact which he's 100% right. And also procedure. You know, the problem with procedure is corrupt. The people who are in charge of procedure are corrupted. They are corrupt. So sometimes following procedure, you end up nowhere. I mean, it's the system that's the way it's designed. It's corrupt to the core. So, guys, procedure, sometimes you have to bend the rules. I know it's going to be pointless at the end of the day if I follow a procedure. But I don't think someone wakes up on a Sunday morning, especially someone like him, and then just decides to choose a busy press conference and accuse people of, geez, I don't know. These accusations, they are, wow, insane. But I have a faith. I'm Team Corners on this one.
Yeah, so you raise a very good point, Uti. It's going to be pointless at the end of the day if he doesn't follow procedure. Because if you were to get suspended now, then what would happen, you see? If you ask me what I think Senzo Mkhunu should voluntarily step aside, first of all. These are heavy allegations. I do think that there must be a commission to look into all of the allegations that were made yesterday. Because we need to have tangible evidence on both sides. And then, unfortunately, Mkhwanazi himself must also be suspended.
I am for Mkhwanazi. Either he's right or wrong. I'm sorry to say this because no one had balls to say it. So now because he's saying it, now he must not be a pop star. No one wanted to come out and say that the police are corrupt. SAPS are corrupt. The most corrupt department ever, if I should put it that way. And lagumele sibalekele khona for safety. So no. Mina ngimanalo baba. And I hope unkulunkulu libadimu baka libadimu baka bona ba mo protect kuraitse what's right for this country. Honestly, even if he's wrong, ngiyamthandaza ukuthi abuye abe right. If he's on the wrong side, I mean, he must just come back and be on the right side and do what's right for this country. This country was functioning very well until so God bless him, and I hope he nips it actually in the bud.
Okay, but you see now, let's listen to what Julia said. You said, even if he's wrong, you pray that he comes back to the right side. So if he's wrong and he plunges the country into one, disrepute and turmoil, which the president spoke about, there's already a distrust that it sets in regarding the judiciary. That's now going to get deepened. But now there's also, we now are aware of a faction within the SAPS because there are good cops and bad cops, which we've always known, but now it's been confirmed. So who do you trust now?
Hands off Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, whether he's wrong or right, hands off Nhlanhla. Whether he's following procedure or not, hands off Nhlanhla. As long as he's shooting criminals, hands off Nhlanhla. Let him do the Lord's work. See Kateli, go imagine jang drive after 6 p.m. Mobansabi gave him. I book guys, hands off Nhlanhla.
Man, I honestly think Umkhonazi, there's something bigger, something actually really irritated him, and it's not this issue. And probably whichever case that he has sufficient evidence on, they literally this time around, they were like, no, let it go. And probably just prompted him to be like, you know what, I just need to let the whole world know what's actually happening. Because clearly, lento lena ayiphile.
So here's the thing, right? You can clearly hear from what he said yesterday that Nkwanazi has lost faith in political leadership. He's lost faith in the judiciary. And he's even lost faith in the prosecutors, right? The NPA. Now, I ask, even if you are trying to fight crime, if you've lost faith in those three people, how are you going to fight crime? What other option is left for you? Except you just go out in the streets and start slinging your gun.
Vigilantism.
Is that the country we want? Even if you agree with them, is that the country we want? How are you going to prosecute these people if you've lost faith in the prosecutors? It's a problem. It's a big, big problem. I can't just wake up today and tell you I'm going to be jury, judge, and executioner. And I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but he's saying he's lost faith in certain parts of the judiciary. So now, kwenzeke njani? How are you going to fix it?
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.